Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey, welcome. Here we are again, new week.
For you guys.
Yeah.
We're recording ahead of a schedule, you guys.
Yeah. Like, we just recorded the newest episode that is out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we always record the day before we release because why wouldn't we?
Right.
We're trying to make our way into getting at least a few days prior. Remember when we started and it was like the Friday before at least?
At least. Yes. We were doing so good. And then we just got like not lazy, but more comfortable,
life.
I feel like.
Yeah.
Just how everything worked.
Because
we finally knew how to do it. I think like the first few weeks it was like, oh my gosh, I need forever to figure out what I'm doing. And you know,
that
you work the kinks out.
Yeah. Yep. And then, also we struggled with like recording for a while. We had all those different things, but we've got a good flow and stuff now. And it's been nice, but October's going to be super busy. So I'm hoping we can maybe get a couple episodes ahead.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Cause the end of that and stuff is getting gray. We'll see. It's just a matter of, you know, I've got between this and picking up hours at work. And then why wouldn't I then create a small business, you know, shop
more
thing?
I think busy is good. You know, I prefer busy sometimes.
Cause I don't know. I'm a pretty lazy person. So I don't know why I've decided.
At least it's your own thing and you can kind of do it at your own pace. So, you know,
this is true. I am gonna, which I'll probably plug on here just when it gets closer, but I'm doing, a thing on October 14th at Westroads Mall called Moonfest. Yeah. So it's going to have all the shit. So I'm going to have a stand there and like, I'm going to start like having, like making stuff to have on hand. Because, like, right now, when I get orders through my site, I just, like, make them as they, you know, come.
Right.
But, yeah. So, I'll talk more about that when it comes up because, you know, shameless plug for myself, if you don't mind.
You know what? It's fine. Yeah.
I should have asked you first. Like, hey, is it cool if I plug myself?
No, but I don't care. It's fine. Fine. Perfect.
You know, it's cool. Yeah. So,
it is going into a busy season for sure, though. I think just everything in general, but I'm so excited. Like today, it's officially September now. We can like we're in the fall seasons, I guess, even though it's like going to be 93 degrees today. And it's,
I know.
Like I was just mad yesterday when I realized that it was still August. I was like, why? Like I was just mad about it, you know? Like I just need September at least.
Listen, and we'll talk about it a little bit at the end, but I watched like 3 horror movies yesterday.
I need some good scary things to watch. You got to send those my way because I'm like out of flop right now. I can't find anything good to watch and I just really am craving something like scary.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that at the end. And if people have recs, please hit us up because I am also looking for the creepy scary shit.
I love it. Oh, I do so much.
I like I said, I'm already in my spooky season.
Yes.
I've been there.
I know.
It's where we're at.
Yeah. And now it's like officially, I mean, entering that
realm. I think, is it, September 20th or the 21st is the first day of fall.
Which is still so far away, but I'm just going to be like, we're out of like the summer months, so it makes me feel like it's appropriate now.
At least these mornings have been beautiful. Like, I cracked my windows open for like 15 minutes just to get some of that fresh air in. Listen, I will have horrible allergies, and I don't even care. Once that weather is like 50s, my windows will be open. I will sleep with them open, and I won't care how disgusting I sound the next day and how itchy and scratchy my eyes and throat are. I just want that nice weather.
I know. Last night, my daughter had softball practice and it was like perfect weather. It was so nice. Oh, I was like, I just wish it was like this all the time. It was amazing.
I know. But fingers crossed.
Hot weeks-ish maybe. And
I will say the only plus side to it still being this hot is hopefully that means, knock on wood, a mild winter.
I would hope so, because I also hate winter, and I'll complain about that, too. So,
listen, it's fine. This is our podcast, and we'll complain if we want to.
Yeah, that's what we do, okay? And I know we're not alone in our thoughts on that, so.
No, it's fine.
That's that. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, shall we just begin our case this week?
Let's jump in. Where are we at?
We're in Illinois this week, and this is, like, just, I don't, yeah, this case is insane. So, yeah, I don't want to like say too much about any of the things because otherwise it'll kind of give away what happens in this case ahead of time. And I like to build up to that, you know,
okay,
but, yeah. So at the end, I'll kind of tell you just like the different documentaries and stuff I watched, if people want to watch them or want to get more familiar with it. So we're going to be talking about Ashley Reeves. So she was born in Belleville, Illinois. So her parents, Tracy Koenig and Michelle Reeves were her parents. They also had two other kids. So she had two siblings. They lived in this small town. I don't really know how big, but they kind of commented on the fact that it was like country lifestyle instead of the busy hustle. Okay,
Tracy and Michelle were her parents. Was this a same-sex parental thing? Or is there one? I was going to say, because both of those names could go either way.
Yeah, like, that's true. Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm just guessing that they maybe just never got married, or I don't know, because they have different last names. Maybe she didn't change it. But I did see somewhere else where one of the other siblings had the dad's last name, but the other one didn't. So I don't really know.
Gotcha.
But she has the same last name as her mom. So,
okay, so Tracy is the dad.
Yeah. And I mean, I won't really talk about him. I don't think really anything further than that, other than just his name. So you won't have to worry about remembering it or any of that.
Okay.
So the mom, though, I will talk about Michelle a little bit. But so Ashley, at like a young age, Michelle knew she was just going to have her hands full because like a lot of little girls that age, you know, she was super stubborn and just strong-willed and independent. Her mom said that she was so smart. Like, she was the kid that talked early, she walked early, you know, all the things that parents are excited about. And then the other parents are like, crap, is my kid behind? Because, you know, one of those. Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, then when she got older, she was just super involved in, you know, normal high school things. Like, she was in the pep squad, the yearbook. She helped with an outreach program, and she was an honor roll student. So she was very responsible. Her mom said she just was glad she never had to worry about her being out, like, you know, doing drugs and all that. She considered it a very, quote, normal, you know, life. She also had a very serious boyfriend at the time. His name was Jeremy. So kind of into the whole situation of what happens here. I'm not going to give a whole bunch more on the background. But so this is April 27th of 2006. So Ashley was 17 at the time. She was a sophomore. She had borrowed her boyfriend, Jeremy, his car because she had a job interview at 3 o'clock that afternoon. So she told her mom that's where she was going to be. It was about like 15 minutes away ish, not too far. Her mom didn't think anything of it. Like, good, please go get a job, you know?
Right.
So she was going to do that. Just told her, make sure you're home by 10, which I'm sure she planned on that anyway. I'm not sure what else she had going on at the time, but that was the curfew. Her mom said they were pretty strict about that. Like, if you're not home by 10, that phone better be ringing. She's like, and you better be telling me where you're at.
Yeah, and you better have a good reason for why you're not home already.
I remember that, like, growing up, I don't know what time the curfew was, but I remember, like, in a small town too, you know, you can relate, like, railroad tracks, trains. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting stuck at a train, like, well, maybe once or twice, but then I always use that as my excuse because literally like a minute past curfew, my mom would be calling my phone. Where are you? And I'm like, I'm at a train, even if I wasn't. Sorry, mom, I know you're listening, but I'm sure I mean, I don't know. I was just irresponsible and didn't leave on time. It's not like I was necessarily doing anything bad, but you know.
Yeah. Listen, my son will go and play like four houses down and I'm like, be home by 5 o'clock. Yeah. And at 5 o'clock, I see him running down the block. I'm
as
like,
as fast as you can. Yeah.
If you would have just left
like 2 minutes prior, even
like, even, but they want them
every minute. Yes, every minute counts. I have a friend who, this is actually a really great idea, she's older and her kids, I mean, are in college now, but she said that she would set an alarm like in her bedroom for that time, so if she was asleep, like if that alarm went off, you are in trouble because then they had to come home and turn that alarm off. So they, when they were home, so like they had to physically be there to do it, you know?
So that's, I was like, a smart idea.
That's actually pretty, pretty smart. I like that. I mean, they could technically like leave again, but it's hard to do that these days with technology and all the things. So,
yeah.
Okay. So she does not come home by 10, I guess is where I'm going with this.
Right.
Catch that drift. Okay.
Right.
So she hasn't called. she, you know, Michelle tries calling her, she's not answering. So naturally, as a parent, you go to the worst possible place. And especially because, like, she's a very responsible kid. I mean, I feel like this is always a lot of the cases on mm-hmm. how this goes, because yeah. it's very rare. They're like, oh, she was just always out doing this and that. So, you know, in this case, Michelle calls the police already to report her missing just because she didn't come home by curfew. And in a smaller town too, it's different. Like, they take things a little bit more yeah. serious because they don't have a whole lot going on. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because the detective, I didn't write his last name. I probably should have, because he's amazing. But Mike, he said something with this, like, just felt very off, and it felt like he could sense urgency with it. And he said he didn't know why, because he's had stuff like this happen before, but something about this was just very weird, and he just had the urge to figure it out. So she never comes home that night. So the next day, Ashley's boyfriend, Jeremy, so his car is found at a park where she would meet up with friends to play basketball. So this was Lederman Park in Belleville where this actually is. Yeah. At. So, okay. The car's there, but, you know, there's no sign of Ashley, but her outfit for her job interview was in the car, and there were basketball clothes in the car, nothing else of hers, no signs. So now they're, like, really thinking that's really weird, because what teenage girl doesn't have her phone always with her and answering it and whatnot. So of course, they're going to talk to Jeremy first, because we know that, you know, he's the boyfriend.
He's the boyfriend, and it's his car.
Right. Like, a lot of weird things. Jeremy was, like, described as just a very wholesome type of guy that parents would love.
Was he not concerned about where his car was?
Yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of, I think it's because this case is so crazy with things later that a lot of those early details get left out, because there's a lot of meat to this, I guess you could say.
Fair. Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I thought the same thing too. And I'm like, I saw a lot of different, like, dates about when she was born and stuff. And I'm like, how do we not even have the correct information on that? Well, because
you mentioned her being 17, but being a sophomore.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
oh yeah, that is true. See, and that's another thing, because somewhere it says she was born in 1983. And I'm like, okay, in 2006, no, she would have never, that's
the, she wouldn't yeah. have been saving.
And 17. Most things say that, but then I don't know. So I was kind of like, none of that really matters in the long run of this story, because it doesn't, she was a high school student. We'll just go with that, but yeah. old enough to drive. And I don't know, but
I mean, if she was 17, she should have been born in 2006. She should have been born in 88 or 89. She should have yeah. been about my age.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's kind of what I was like, I don't know, but she was in high school. That's kind of what I've just yeah. chalked it up to be at this point. But, so he, please say, you know, Jeremy, you could tell he really cared about her, and he was out of town the night that she was gone. I think that's why he lent her his truck. He must have, I don't know what he was doing, but he was with someone else, whatever. He really didn't know anything helpful, but he does say that the last time he had talked to her, he knew she was just going to this job interview. But then she talked about playing basketball at the park afterwards, which
I feel like I've heard this story before.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Well, probably, you'll see why later, but, so she was going to play basketball at the park, and they're like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense why she was there. But that's kind of interesting as well, because who was she playing with? What did other people come?
So, and then I was like, did she have three outfits? Because she had her interview.
Yeah. Outfit, so what was she wearing now?
Basketball clothes? Like,
that's what I thought too. And I thought that was a very,
unless it was thing, all it's straight from school really, but, thing.
Yeah.
Like, she was wearing clothes for school, had a different outfit for the interview, and then clothes.
Was going to change into that. Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe, because maybe she was going to change into the interview thing when she got there, because it was uncomfortable because it was, like, dressy. I don't even know.
Right.
I don't know the job interview or where it was. But so while that's all going on, Michelle and her other daughter, Casey, they start looking just for, like, anything they can to even get any clue of what could have happened. So they open up a cell phone bill, because of course she's on a family plan because she lives right. at home, and they notice that the same phone number is on the call logs, like, multiple times. So they call this number, and they find out it's a guy named Sam Shelton. Okay. So Sam Shelton, he was a nearby high school teacher, not her high school, but a school nearby. and Ashley was friends with him, and he was like young too. I don't even think I put his age in here because he was like newly out of school. I mean, mid-20s. And he would actually like meet like a lot of students at this nearby basketball court at the park, and they would all play basketball together. They all like knew him just because he was younger. And Michelle, of course, the mom, you know, she actually said she really liked him and she knew who he was and she knew that they were friends. And she thought it was actually kind of cool that like he would take time out of his like personal life to play with the kids, like the students
getting involved. Now we know better these days. So I don't care if he's a younger teacher. You shouldn't be, you shouldn't be.
That's where like, then you shouldn't teach
outside of school.
High school. Yeah. I feel like, no, I agree.
No.
And so, yeah. And like Sam was like the all American guy. I was just annoyed even reading all the things he did. And, you know, he was super popular and outgoing. He loved sports. The students loved him. Of course, you know, he's a decent, I mean, I'm not attracted to him, but you know, decent looking guy. He's young. And of course, younger girls are going to love the attention from an older man. And, he loved the attention too. Let's be honest.
I'm pretty sure I remember this case now as soon as you mentioned him. And I think I know something I watched about it.
Oh yeah.
But I won't say anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So as they're looking through, and I guess I should mention too. So they find that that's his phone number and they're like, oh, and Michelle is like, I know him. So she calls him and she's like, Ashley never came home. Do you know anything? And he was like, no, he was super calm and polite. And he was like, don't worry. Like, it's okay. And so she was, okay. So as they go back and they're looking through all the phone records and stuff, trying to find something else, they notice that like for 2 months, it's been over 2 months that Ashley and Sam exchanged like, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of calls and texts. So
that's way more than just, hey, you coming to play basketball today?
Yeah. So Michelle said she knew that, you know, once again, that Ashley was like friends with him. And she's like, I mean, I thought maybe she had a little school teacher crush, but whatever, didn't think anything of it. So, yeah. So then, it also turns out Ashley's like not the only girl he's talking to. I'm sure you're just shocked that. By that. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was just like a womanizer, they said, which I'm like, ew. And this is so stupid. I had to add this in because he also moonlighted as like a wrestler. His name was The Teacher.
Ew.
Isn't that a douchey, like, dumb?
Be more just original.
Dumb. Yeah. And I guess he wasn't like that great, but his little teacher persona kind of helped attract fans and people liked him and whatnot. So, obviously Sam is going to be a person of interest. So they're also like, why does he have her phone number? Because that alone is like a breach of any kind of relationship of crossing lines. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Listen, in a small town, it's kind of difficult because like I was friends with the daughter of one of my high school teachers. So like, I'd had slumber parties at her house and stuff like that, you know, but like at the same time, so like, but I wasn't calling him, you know, when we still had landlines and shit around that time. I mean, like
someone else would answer the phone.
Around my senior year, I think we got rid of our landline and stuff, but still it's like small towns to an extent, like I could give a little bit of leeway with that, but not the amount of phone calls and text messages, especially because 2006, we're still on the, I don't know if unlimited text is quite a thing yet. I feel like we're still it's just becoming, like we're getting on the verge of it. So
yeah.
How much money are we spending on text messages?
Right. I don't get that. And like, he obviously has to know if he's trying to be sneaky about it. Like, that's not a good way to do it, which he's obviously not that bright.
2006, anyway, I feel like people didn't realize that their shit true. Like that.
Yeah,
could be
maybe not. I guess
like
it's hard nowadays, to think back. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, don't you remember the day? Like we are of that era.
Yeah, we sure are. I kind of forget just because things change every day with technology anymore that it's like, I don't remember how things used to be sometimes. So
Yeah.
So they bring him in, of course. And the police also said something did not feel right with him once again, right at the beginning. They said it felt weird. You know, they ask him if he knows anything. Of course, he doesn't know where she is. And he was very competent with his answers. He did not know. So then that's when they pull out the phone records. They're like, okay, well, this is weird because you guys have been talking for 2 months. So what's going on? So Sam denies that there was anything sexual going on. He says they only, you know, he only ever hugged her and they were friends and stuff. So it wasn't
a teacher shouldn't anything. Be friends no. with a high schooler.
And it shouldn't be hugging and hanging out outside of school.
No, so, I don't care if you're only like 23, 24.
Yeah.
No.
Right. Yeah. So they talked to him for hours and hours and his story changed multiple times. Finally admits they were more than friends. He said they actually only had sex once, but in his car at that park. So he says that he felt so bad after that, that he didn't want to be that guy. And he knew that he could lose his job and he could get in a lot of trouble and it was wrong and blah, 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 blah.
And yet he kept talking to her.
Yeah.
Bullshit, so, it was only once.
I know. So he said that he told her, like, don't tell anyone. I'm so sorry. We shouldn't have done this. It was just the one time.
So he made her feel like shit too yeah. on top of it.
Yeah. Then. I'm sure like a young girl, of course, how's that going to make her feel like you got what you wanted. Now you're done.
Yeah.
So he claims to, he didn't see her the day that she went missing. So like that happened. I'm not even sure when they claim that that happened. So they keep talking to him and talking to him. So after hours, more hours, I think they said it was like, yeah, it was close to 30 hours by the time they were interviewing him. And
oh my God.
Yeah. And there's so much footage of the interviews and stuff that, like, it's just mind-boggling. Like, the way he acts, he's just so arrogant about it. And, like, he's just ridiculous. So he finally was like, okay, well, Ashley really wanted a serious relationship. And he said he wanted to break it off. And so he said that that day that she had gone missing, they had made plans to meet at the park. And that's when he was going to break it off with her, which would make sense why she said she was going to play basketball, because she was going to meet him. Okay. So he said that once, like, they were there and talking, they were just kind of driving up and down the road. He said he told her that what they were doing was wrong and they needed to end it. So she's, you know, very upset, which I can see why. That's ridiculous. I mean, not that he should continue it either, but like, maybe you shouldn't have done that in the first place. Like,
well, you shouldn't have done that. You were in a position of power already. It's like in the original Pretty Little Liars, like Ezra.
Ezra? Yes. Yes.
And everyone shipped him. And I was like, that is so messed up, which I watched that at an older age anyways.
Yeah.
Even pre-kids, I was like, that's not okay.
Yeah. I was like, that's really weird. And he does seem quite a bit older than her. So.
Yeah. Wasn't she like 15 or 16? Yeah. They were only
15 or 16.
Yeah. And he was like in his 20s. Like, so gross. No.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. So clearly not okay. She's upset. And he said that she was screaming and yelling. So he pulls over the car and he's just like annoyed and he's like, get out of the car. And she says, no, I'm not getting out. So he wanted her out of the car. He said he gets up, he goes around to her side, opens the door, unhooks the seatbelt and pulled her out of the car, set her there and drove off. So the cops were like, okay, so if you care about her and you've been talking this long, you don't call her to check on her. You don't go back for her. You don't make sure everything's okay. Like, how does that make any sense?
Right.
So that's his story. So like I said, it'd been about 30 hours too since she had actually disappeared. So I guess, it's been about 24 hours that he's been in there. Sorry, I should have prefaced with that. So he's been interviewed for 24 hours straight, but 30 hours that she's been missing.
Gotcha.
So clearly everyone is wearing down. It's been a lot of talking and all the things. So Sam finally breaks down and he starts just like hysterical sobbing. He said that once he got her out of the car and she was just kicking and flailing and she was so mad. So he ended up putting her in a chokehold and he just drug her out into the woods. He said he had hurt her neck because he must have pulled too hard. He said he heard a pop and she fell limp. So she wasn't moving. He said he struggled a lot trying to carry her. So then he said he put her back in the car and then he didn't know what to do then. He said he knew he should have taken her to the hospital, but he was scared. So he drug her, carried her, stumbled, whatever, half the time. And he got down to a wooded area. He said that he tied something around her neck to make it look like someone had choked her out there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And he said that he finally just, he strangled her with his hands. And after doing that, like, this gets kind of not too graphic, but enough that it's a little disturbing. So for anyone who doesn't want to listen, yeah, he said that, yeah, she was still alive. And so then he got his belt, or I think I, this was, yeah, sorry. When I put this all in order, I think I got it a little backwards there before he put the belt on her neck to look like she was strangled. She really was. But then he got his belt and he used that to strangle her more since she was still, still alive. And so, he said when he was doing that, he turned his head away because he didn't want to see. And he said he heard a gurgle and he let go. And then he saw that there was spit and foam coming from her mouth and that she was a horrible color. He said her
no
tongue.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Her tongue was protruding between her teeth. And he said she was still breathing. So he used his foot for leverage to choke her as hard as he could. And the belt broke. So he repositioned her one more time and choked her one more time until there was no more breathing. So he left the belt because he wanted it to look, you know, like someone had done that to her, which someone mm-hmm. had, unfortunately, someone she trusted. So
did he not think that his belt would have evidence on it?
I know, dumbass. He's not smart. So he said that when he left, he just ran like a bat out of hell. So after, you know, this confession, they're looking at him and they see he has no marks or any signs of any kind of struggle on him at all. So Ashley never had a chance to even put up a fight was the conclusion there. So at the end of his like confession too, they ask, or he asks if he's going to be able to get his contact solution and take his contacts out and will he get a toothbrush? So the detective is just like, I don't think so. And it just still didn't sink in because then he said, well, will I get like a little private toilet? Cause I can't pee when there's people around. Cause I have a urinary stress disorder.
Oh my God.
That was it. Like he had no remorse. He, you know, and so they're trying to figure out where her body is. So he's super reluctant to tell them. And eventually one of the police officers, I guess, in a small town, once again, he used to be like his scout leader, like Cub Scout leader. Mm-hmm. And so they use him to talk to him and like, hey, just do what's right, you know? And so because they said they were fairly certain they didn't think he would cave on that to tell them where they could find her. So he finally does after his friend talks to him. So they go looking for her body. It's been 2 days now, you know, and it's in April in Illinois. So it's like in the 40s, it's get cold. It's dark. Yeah. It had rained. And she's out in the woods. So it's been a very long time. So they are recording as they're going out to find her so they can have it for the case and all the things. And he leads them around, of course, a couple times he doesn't know for sure. So they're kind of just wandering around. And then they get down to a more heavily wooded area. So it's around 2 a.m. and they see something laying on the ground and they realize it's a body and it's Ashley. It's her limp body and her arms were splayed awkwardly at her side. That was one thing I noticed too on the first thing before they even mentioned it. I thought that was really weird the way her arms were. And they said they, you know, could see that she was covered in thousands of bug bites too, because she's been out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
They said they knew that they were dealing with a deceased body at that time. But then, you know, also it had been over 24 hours that they had been in this interrogation. So they're kind of like, are we delirious? Like, we don't know if we're seeing things. But one of the police officers, as he gets close to look at her, he sees her chest rise a little bit. And he was like, am I seeing things? Is this the way the light is shining on her? Because they just had flashlights and stuff. And they have this whole thing recorded, which you can see most of it. And it's pretty incredible. But when he sees that, he starts screaming, she's breathing, she's breathing. And it like gives you goosebumps. And they call the EMTs and he squeezed her hand. This detective, Mike, I loved him. He said he just held her hand and said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And he said it was like the most overwhelming feeling of adrenaline that he ever had. And he said, like, I have goosebumps right now telling it, even though I know, just because it's like incredible. And so He said it was just like the most unbelievable experience, and it really has changed the way that they work every case now. They said, you know, they went in thinking this was a recovery mission, not a rescue.
Right.
And she, you can tell, I mean, she's barely even alive in there.
Well, and I was going to say, with the bug bites, would you have that with a deceased body? Because they would still want the warm blood, wouldn't right. they?
I mean, maybe like initially when they, like shortly after death. Yeah. But I don't know.
But to have
know.
That many bug bites, I feel like you wouldn't have that many with right. how quickly the body would cool if she had been dead.
Yeah. And I was kind of surprised there was as many bugs just with the temperatures too. But I mean, in April too, yeah. it could have already gotten nice enough.
Gotten warmer. You know, yeah.
Who knows? But you know, like her eyes were bloodshot, obviously, and she looked dead. Like if I saw, right. like just looking at the footage, there's no way. So she was, I mean, very, very barely alive. But you know, the way she's laying, you can tell like her neck looks broken, and her tongue was sticking out. And it took about an hour for them to get her out of there because she was so far into the woods, and for them to direct EMTs and whatnot down there. And they were actually really worried, like, is she even going to make it to the hospital?
Right.
They didn't even know. I mean, she was in very bad shape. And so she was also, I mean, freezing cold, which, you know, makes it so nothing in your body responds when you're that cold too. So they get her to the hospital. And they said then was when they had to call her mom, and they just told her to come to the hospital that Ashley was there. So she said they didn't tell her anything on the phone. And when she got there, that was when the police told her that she had been strangled 3 times, Jesus. Different times. And yeah. that she had a very severe brain injury, and that there was really low odds of her surviving, especially with this kind of a thing. So miraculously, she survives the night. So then kind of as time goes on, it takes her a while to come out of her coma. Because she was in one, I mean, and her brain was still, it had been without oxygen really yeah. for so long that I don't even know how she survived. Like, it's a straight up right. miracle. And she finally kind of, when the brain was waking up, it said that, or the doctor said basically her brain was relapsing the incident over and over again. So she couldn't talk. She didn't know how to eat. She couldn't move her hands. Thankfully, her neck was not broken, so where she was paralyzed. Mm-hmm. So I mean, she had to relearn all of that. And there were times her mom said that she would wake up while she was asleep and she would just be screaming and screaming and like just, I mean,
fighting probably.
Yeah. And they said it was so traumatizing to watch her, I mean, have that happen. And just like her brain wasn't properly like functioning, and she didn't know how to handle emotions because she didn't even know how to use her hands. They had to feed her. And yeah. So I just think it was just terrible to even see that. And we'll talk more about like her injuries in a little bit. But, you know, while this is all going on, obviously stuff is out in the news too about what happened. And like, because you're in a small town, like loyalties were kind of like challenged, which is mm-hmm. sick. People, you know, some people were like, oh my gosh, there's no way he did this. And you know, and of course, this is where the victim blaming comes in.
Well, I was going to say, I guarantee somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, she shouldn't have been messing around with yeah. this guy.
She's a
you know.
Slut. There was a lot of like stuff like mm-hmm. that. And it was just like so bad. And because Sam, like, even though he confessed, he never once like talked about it again, like admitted to it or had any remorse. Like,
right.
No.
And let's face it. First of all, men tend like in situations like this, like, it's just so gross. Like the misogyny and the patriarchy is just very much like even today, like where you're like, we should know better. Like when these things go to trial, the defense yeah, always victim blames. And it's so gross.
It's always their go-to because they know that they mm-hmm. don't have a leg to stand on.
Yep.
And I think, yeah, it's just ridiculous. They said that people were even like prank calling their house. Like the mom said they like stopped answering the phone because people would call and say stuff and then just hang up. And it was like crazy that people couldn't, I mean, I guess without being in there and seeing the condition that she was in, like you would never realize. I mean, you still knowing what happened, but
yeah, like you know, he tried to kill her not once, not twice, but three different times, and he mm-hmm. left her for dead for almost 2 days. And yet you still have people who are on his side thinking she deserved it. Like so
they talked to his mom on one of the documentaries, and the mom's like, he always has just been such a wonderful kid. I mean, you know, it's terrible that he would have done this, but I just don't know. Like, I just really enjoy him. He's a nice guy. Like, it was just like, I get like you're his parent, but still, like, that's why he acts that way then. You
it's
know
like
what I mean?
Brock like he's... Turner's dad saying he shouldn't be punished for 20 seconds of fun. It was fun for him. It wasn't fun for her. And she was left for dead too. Like, mm-hmm. get fucked.
Yeah.
Gross.
So, let me find where I was here. Okay. So they, you know, officially charge him with attempted murder. And I don't know why they even let him have bail, but he makes bail, you know, and so he's awaiting the trial. So during the time he's home, he actually tries to kill himself by ingesting a cocktail of pills and alcohol. And when the EMTs, you know, go in to try to save him, he starts punching them and spitting at them like a disgusting person. And he had a sign on his chest that said DNR. Like, no, you're not going to get an easy out. Are you kidding me? What a dumbass. So that was him
and trying also, to get though, more it's attention. Like, you're just trying to make yourself mm-hmm. the victim here. Mm-hmm. Like, poor mm-hmm. me. Like, my life is ruined. Yeah, you ruined it and this poor girl's life.
Right. So then I see some of my notes are kind of in a weird order because I took so many. So if I'm jumping around a little bit, just bear with me here. But on some of the interviews too that I watched where they talked to Ashley, you know, it's been years obviously since it happened when they talked to her. And she said that she doesn't remember that day at all. She doesn't even remember days leading up to this whole thing. She said she just remembers laying in the hospital bed at one point crying. She said that she remembers her aunt standing there and saying, I know you're in there, Ashley. I know you can hear me. I'm tired of this. If you're in there, you bite my finger. Cause I guess they had just a really like fun relationship. And she said, and her aunt put her finger in her mouth and she bit it. And she said, and then her aunt just like started crying, was so happy. She said, I knew it. I knew it. And so I think that was like a good moment of like, she's gonna make it. Mm-hmm. But of course she had to like learn everything that happened to her because she was so confused. And they said that was a lot of what she was so frustrated about because she had no clue why she was in this state.
Right.
And she wanted to go home and why couldn't she walk and feed herself and give her, I mean, it's just so sad. And she said that they only really let her see some of the pictures because they, you know, ask her, have you seen the pictures from the scene and all that? And she said, I've seen a few, but there's some that they say for my own well-being, they don't want me to see.
Well, and the brain is a crazy thing. And clearly mm-hmm. she can't even remember several days leading up to it. Like her brain is trying to protect itself and protect her.
Yes.
And yeah, that's just not.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense then that, you know, she wouldn't. And so,
yeah,
you know, when they told her too, like Sam did this to you. She said she didn't believe it. She said, he wouldn't do that. He's my friend. You know, there's no way. And she said, you know, she needed to see for herself to believe that he actually did do this. And so that's kind of why they showed her some of the pictures and they could see that that had happened. And they also learned later that right after the attack, he actually went out to a country bar and was dancing and was like meeting someone
Gross.
For a date there. Yeah. And they show the videos of him dancing and laughing and like, are you kidding? Ashley said when she saw all of that too, she said that was so hurtful to her because she said she thought he was her friend and he just dumped her in the woods to go dancing and was meeting another girl that night. It turns out this was another student too.
Of course.
So,
it was.
You know, they confirmed he did have lots of relationships with younger girls. So, mm-hmm. Ashley said that she doesn't even know what would set him off like that because she doesn't remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
She said that up until then, like they never fought about anything, but then when they asked her if she had a sexual relationship with him, she said no.
So that's what set him off, is he wanted to have sex. They probably thought they were just friends and he was trying to get sex from her.
Right.
And she probably denied him and he got pissed because his fragile male ego couldn't handle it.
Yeah. I think there was some of that. And then there was a couple spots though that I did read that her friends said that she had told them that she was like fooling around with an older guy, but didn't say who. Mm-hmm. And so they weren't sure if it was him or not. And who knows? Like, I don't know if that was her not wanting to admit to it. Either way, yeah. It was wrong of him to do that with her. It's not like 100%. She's at fault. He should have never put her in that position.
He used his position of power.
Yeah. And he groomed her to get her to that point if they did do that. But she said, you know, like, I wouldn't have even done that. When they talked to her, they said, because like she had a boyfriend. I mean, if you don't recall, you know, Jeremy is still, I mean, and she was like, you know, we were pretty serious. Like, I wouldn't cheat on him like that. But she said that, you know, when they did play basketball together, just her and Sam, cause they did do that. So like, there's no denying there was something going on there, but, he would always tell her like, don't tell anybody that we come do this, just you and me, because I don't want to lose my job. And she was like, okay, whatever. But she said, I mean, it was still kind of like a friendship thing, but at the same time, I'm like, no, I mean, I don't know. And who knows if other stuff really happened or not, either way. Not okay. But she really defied all the odds, I guess, you know, with her recovery. She was in the rehab hospital for months, and her family just talked about how devastating it was to watch and how exhausting it was for her. They said she was at the point where she knew what she wanted to do, but she couldn't get her body to do it. And she would get very frustrated. She didn't understand why she was this way. And because of learning all this about Sam, she was anxious and just wary of people. Like, yeah, very painful. She talks about a time that she begged her dad to take her home, and she just cried and cried and said, Dad, please let me go home. Let me go home. And he said, I want to take you home, but you can't, you've got to get better here. And she said her and her dad just cried together because it was just so emotionally hard on them. But during all that time too, she was getting tons of like letters and cards of support. So even though there was horrible people, there was really great people too. And she said that she saved those and she still reads those when she's having like an off day and wants to just feel encouraged, which is really cool. And 2 months after the attack, they actually have footage, which is really cool too. It shows her, they had like a 5K run that was a fundraiser for her, and her, they took her there and she's in a wheelchair and they have her cross the finish line. Her parents help her walk across. She takes like 2 steps and then she gets back into the wheelchair and, you know, everyone's bawling. I was bawling watching it. Mm-hmm. She was bawling. I'm like, you know, and she said in that moment, she just realized that people don't care what she looks like and what she can't do anymore, but they were all there just to support her. And she said that really just gave her like energy to get through it. So, you know, she does fully recover and is able to talk. I mean, I'm sure there's still going to be things that she has to watch for, but, yeah, I mean, and then back to what happened with Sam. So defense tried to say that his confession couldn't be used in court because he said it before they actually read his rights to him. Thankfully, the judge overruled that because of the severity. So he ends up taking a plea bargain, which is bullshit, but so 20 years in prison for attempted murder.
Gross. He's still going to be so young.
Which
this
was like 2006 or seven. So he's going to get out in a few years.
Well, and he would have only like, even if he was in his mid-20s, he's not even going to be like 50.
I know. Yeah. No.
Ugh.
Right. And it was really gross because like his mom was like, I know he did a bad thing, but he's still a good kid.
No, and he's they not. Tried,
yeah. He would never speak out like at his sentencing or anything. He would say nothing. And his mom said the reason they...
Ignoring the attempted murder?
Yeah.
He... statutory rape at the very least, right? Yeah. Like there's something like, even if it's somehow in the legal, like what he's doing is a morally wrong thing. Yeah. Like he's not a good person using his position of power to meet and seduce teenage girls. Like that's so gross. That your son is not a good person.
It is gross. No.
And even if that's all he did, he's not a good person.
Right.
He's but just he not also at all. Left a girl for dead.
Yeah.
There's he tried his damnedest to kill him.
Like, he's a piece. Like, and the fact that that's all he got charged with was attempted murder is like,
How was there not the, all the
because
things.
Of a deal, gross. I'm sure, because, you know, their excuse was, his mom said, well, the reason that he just took the deal was we knew he would never have a fair trial because of the media. Like, no, you know that he would be way more screwed if it went to trial. So,
yeah, I can't believe prosecution even offered him a plea deal.
Yeah, like, he's just gross. There was actually another interview too I watched with True Crime Daily. So Elizabeth Smart is like an anchor on that.
Yes.
And it is so cool because, well, Ashley actually talks about how she always looked up to Elizabeth Smart like in the past and just thought how incredible her story was. And so Elizabeth talks to her and she actually takes her back to the site where she was found. And she's like, have you been here before? You know, and she's like, no, and I don't know how I feel about it. It's just, it's weird, you know? And Elizabeth said, obviously, like, their situations were different. She said, but, like, for me, she said, it was, like, such a triumph to come out and see where I had been and what I overcame and, you know, all the things. And so it was cool. And Ashley was asked, you know, if she could face Sam, what would she say to him? And Ashley said, I would just ask him, like, what were you thinking? Why did you do that? She said she lays in bed and thinks of things she would say to him all the time. But her main question would be why? And then Elizabeth asks her, like, does that just blow your mind to think that, like, you could have died, you know? And she says that she doesn't really think about that. But when, you know, you put it into perspective, like, she can't believe that he almost killed her. She just said, you know, there's been years and years of painful rehab and she just wants to move on with her life one step at a time. So she said that she doesn't have any resentment towards him, but yeah, incredible. She said she just loves that she has a family that loves her. She has dogs on the documentary. She had two beautiful dogs. I was like, oh, I love them. And her dogs love her. She has a home. And now she's actually, I thought this was crazy cool. She's actually married to her boyfriend, Jeremy, from back then when it happened. Yes. Yeah. And they have two kids together. And she's actually a caregiver in Illinois there. And I know she works with the police there. And she talks about them being like an extended family to her. Because they're on the show too when Elizabeth Smart, because they go out there with her. And they, it's funny because they're talking about that night when they were out there. And one of the officers was like, yeah, and this guy was scared because a spider got on his face when they were walking. And then they're laughing and like, oh, we feel so sorry for you. You know, like they can all joke about it now and stuff. And so like, it was really neat to see that. But yeah, so it was cool too, because of that, Mike and Dan, two of the investigators that I think I mentioned, they were awarded like deputies of the year for their part in the recovery. And they all still keep in touch. And she works with them doing things. And that's just the crazy, crazy story. So the reason, I don't know if this would be maybe why you've heard of it or remember it or not. I didn't realize that fairly recently, Lifetime made a movie called Left for Dead, the Ashley Reeves story. And so I ended up watching that too. And I mean, I think it follows it fairly closely. Of course, there's some things that are not the same as what I read, but, that was actually really good. And I think, I mean, it's very, you know, some of it's a little bit over the top.
I didn't watch that, but I feel like it was in either I Survived or See No Evil or something like that. I
find a ton on it, which is really weird.
Maybe I listened to a podcast about it. I don't know, maybe. But I know this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was. So the only other thing, well, I watched the thing with Elizabeth Smart and I just watched the different clips of that, like from YouTube and stuff, because they didn't have like the full segment. But then on Amazon Prime, I found there was an episode on the case with Paula Zahn. And yeah, it was like just an hour thing where they interviewed a bunch of them and talked about this stuff. And Ashley, of course, was interviewed in it. But other than that, then a lot of it was just stuff online. But there's not even a Wikipedia page on her, which I think is crazy.
That considering, is crazy.
Like, just when you see, like, it gives me chills when you see the way that she's laying when they show it. It's just like you think she's dead and you're like, how could someone ever survive that?
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't want to start with saying this is a survival story because I feel like that's when you get the goosebumps, like when you hear like, oh my gosh, she's when he talks about her breathing or seeing her chest rising, it just gives you goosebumps. So
I wonder if it was a small town murder episode I listened to about this, because if it was a smaller town, maybe. I bet they covered it. But yeah, no, that's
Insane. So that's the story. of Ashley Reeves in Illinois. And I came across that last week, and that's when I was like, oh, I'm going to switch my states this week because it's, yep. I watched the movie. It's fresh in my mind.
So that's a good one. Yeah, that was a good one.
Not as heavy. Sometimes we need less of the, I mean, you know, some of them are just really, really heavy, but the survival story is always amazing. So
yes, yes, they are. So that's fantastic. Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Check it out. Anyone who wants to, the, you know, if you love a good Lifetime movie, the drama and all the things, but you know, some of the characters actually kind of looked like the real people too, which was kind of like, oh, I'm surprised they did okay with casting there, but you know, it's fine.
All right. So for watching stuff, we know you watched that movie.
Yes, that is what I watched. There you go. Boom.
Did you watch anything else?
No, I don't. Mm-mm. Not really. Not enough to share worth, I don't think.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm trying to think. I did finish a book called Stars and Smoke. Yeah. And that was like, I got it because I was hoping for like a K-drama-ish type thing. It was fine. I don't know. Like, I give it 3.5 stars. Like, it was entertaining, but it was YA. And it was like a 19-year-old girl was this like secret agent. I'm like, could you have made them like mid-20s at least? Right. You know?
Yeah. Come on.
There's going to be a sequel. I'll read it, but I'm not like clamoring for it, you know?
Yeah, right. One of those.
But yeah, I did watch a bunch of stuff. Let's see. I think Wednesday I watched Wrath of Becky and Six Souls. So Wrath of Becky, I rented on Amazon Prime. That's the sequel to Becky, which was the one where Kevin James was the neo-Nazi.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That you talked
about. So in this one, Stifler was a neo-Nazi.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes. That's so weird.
It was ridiculous and over the top, and I loved it. And they left it open for a third. Yeah. I can't wait.
Interesting.
Six Souls is also known as Shelter. It's a 2010 movie with like Julianne Moore and Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
Yes. I actually just saw something about that the other day. Yeah, so that's funny. So
I went in thinking it was just going to be like a psychological thriller. Like this therapist is interviewing this guy who has DID, which is dissociative identity disorder or multiple personalities. There is actually a paranormal element to it. It was interesting. It was cool. I liked it. Then I finally watched Cabin in the Woods because I'm way behind. It's got Thor in it. I can't think of his name. Chris Hemsworth in it. That was a fucking trippy movie. Like
Cabin in the Woods.
It's on HBO or Max. It was fucking trippy.
Huh,
it was interesting. Like we got to play on the whole typical teenagers go to the cabin type thing. But then it takes a twist. In the beginning, you're kind of like, what the fuck is going on? Because there's this other shit happening too.
I feel like I've seen this for some reason.
It's an older movie and it was like super popular. So then I finally watched The Descent, which gave me so much claustrophobia. I don't know how people go spelunking, like cave diving and shit like that.
No, that gives me claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Phobia. Oh, yeah, I've seen this movie. This movie.
Yeah. So the set was interesting.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it overall. But like then Max was like, watch The Descent Part 2. And it was like the lone survivor going back into the cave to like kill the monsters. And I'm like, no, that's stupid. Like there's only two entrances to this cave. Just block them off and blow the shit up. Like, you know what I mean? So I didn't watch that. And then on Peacock, I watched We Are Still Here, which I'm still not 100% sure how I feel about. Like, first of all, it's a 2015 movie, but if you're watching it, it's filmed in a style that makes it look like it's a movie from the 70s or 80s.
And like, I can't get down with those sometimes. It's hard for me to focus.
It was interesting. It was like this house had evil in it that families had to be sacrificed to every 30 years and stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was interesting, I'll tell you what. So yeah, I've got some other movies I want to watch. On Paramount Plus, there's one called The Uninvited that has Elizabeth Banks in it that I want to watch.
I feel like hold on. The Uninvited. See, this is what happens is I watch things, but I don't ever know what they're called.
Yeah.
I'm looking that one up. I think I canceled so my Paramount.
That Plus. And then on Max, I want to watch Hereditary, which is supposed to be super good too. So those are the two on my list to like watch.
Huh. I feel like. Let's see. What year did this come out? Yeah. See, some of these, like, I feel like. Yeah. Elizabeth.
See, I was like behind on like, I got out of horror movies for a really long time, and I'm just like been starting to get back into them in the last year or so. So I'm watching a lot of old shit too.
Yeah. Well, there's like not a lot of good stuff out there, I feel like, anymore. I mean, that I haven't already seen. Yeah. I feel like
I did see like all of the Paranormal Activity movies are on Paramount, yeah. I think. And there's way more than I realized. I'm not going to lie.
There is. It's one of the like Saws where there's like a 90 of them.
Yeah. Except I can't do the Saw movies. It's too much gore.
It's gross. Yeah. It's not scary. It's just gross.
Yeah, I thought about going in and like rewatching the Paranormal Activities though.
Yeah, like, I've only seen the first two.
Yeah, I was like, I think I only saw the first two, but I remember them being creepy enough. So I was like, yeah, it'd be a fun little.
I know it's been a long time since I've watched them, so I don't know if I would think the same way or not. Like, I don't know.
I know.
I remember same. Those came out so long ago.
I know.
Interesting. Well,
yeah.
Send us the spooky movies or shows to watch, because
You guys give us all the ideas.
Yeah, I don't want anything like funny right now and lighthearted. I feel like I've done a lot of that lately, so I'm like, I'm good. Now I need all the
unless
other things,
it's like one of those campy horror movies, like Happy Death Day or something like that. Like those are the only kind that I want.
I watched those ones on your Vudu a long time ago. I have to tell you that because I was like, I had never seen them, and I was like, I love this.
They're fantastic. Those and Ready or Not. I'm like,
that one's good. Yes.
Those are, I love a good campy making fun of ourselves.
Yes. Type those ones are good. I love those.
That's why I want to go see Slaughterhouse.
Did
I send you the trailer for that?
I don't think you did, but I think I've seen the trailer. Maybe
Killer Sloth.
Did I get it from you? Yeah, I think someone sent that to me. I don't know.
Might have sent it. I've sent it to so many people. Like, it, again, is one of those movies that looks like it's just making fun of itself. Like, it's a killer fucking sloth. Like, come on.
Right. Like, and how does it kill when it's that slow? Like, I don't you know. That's funny.
Right. I mean, they gave her a car, so who knows?
Oh, okay. Well, it's going to get real, real good.
Which they can be vicious if you get near them. Also, they have chlamydia.
Didn't know that.
It's a real problem. Yeah.
Gross.
Like, I've seen a thing about them trying to vaccinate them and stuff.
Ew.
Uh-huh.
I don't like that. Okay.
Yeah. That's FYI.
Wow. Okay.
Fun fact for you, sloth.
Yeah, that was a fun fact. Thank you. Things you didn't know you needed to know. But
right.
Yeah, no.
So maybe just be careful if you're going to touch a sloth. You know.
I would love to, like, snuggle with one, but I don't know that I will now, so... Okay.
I'd maybe avoid it.
Yeah. Well, cool. I don't got anything else.
No, same. So you guys, you know what to do. Like, review, subscribe, do all those things. Share it. It means the world to us. Hit us up with any of your recommendations for spooky season shit. Books or movies, because I want some good creepy books too. So hit us up, please.
Yes.
Otherwise, until next time, stay heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.